From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis from the Korean Peninsula. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Korean Context. I'm Jenna Gibson. It's been a busy few days on the Korean Peninsula as we were gearing up for the big presidential election. And on May 9th, it became official that Moon Jae-in will be the next president of South Korea. Moon, who previously worked for the liberal Roh Moo-hyun administration, comes from the Minju, or Democratic Party, and he takes office after 10 years of conservative government in Seoul. So it will be interesting to see some of the changes that take place now that there's a new administration entering the Blue House. This also comes at a time when we have a new president in the United States as well, one who is also trying to shake things up in terms of foreign policy. So here to talk with me about what might be ahead for this next administration is Dr. Choi Kang, who's the Vice President for Research at the Asan Institute for Policy Studies in Seoul. Dr. Choi is very well respected within the foreign policy community, so I'm very happy that he is joining me here today to talk about some of his expectations as President Moon takes office. So Dr. Choi, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know it must be a busy time over there at Asan.
Oh, yeah, quite busy.
So Moon Jae-in won the presidency with 41% of the vote, and Hong Joon-pyo was second at 24%. So there was a decent gap there. Do you think that Moon Jae-in has a mandate based on his win to start closing some of the polarization that we've seen in politics lately?
Mm-hmm. I think this utmost task he has to do is kind of how he can end the polarization and also the states unified on a certain front. But actually, there's a huge gap between Moon Jae-in and Hong Joon-pyo. But actually, Moon Jae-in didn't get enough vote, actually. Of course, 41% represent less than majority of the voters. So I think he has to carefully manage domestic politics. Actually, his party has only 120 seats out of 300 seats in National Assembly. So how he can make a coalition or compromise with opposition parties is going to be a very, very critical issue for him to handle in the immediate, the early phase of his presidency.
Right. I was going to ask you about this. It's kind of an unusual situation. There's no transition between the election and President Moon taking office. So he's really going to have to move quickly on a lot of things, put together a team, right, and implement all his policies. What do you think he'll focus on first, and what are his top priorities for the first, part of his presidency?
I think first is like how he can stabilize domestic politics. So actually, how he can bring the opposition parties on board and also work together. That's the first immediate thing. That's actually background for any policy implementation. Second, utmost issue he has to handle is the North Korea issue. So how he can coordinate North Korea policy with the United States and China, as well as other concerned parties, such as Japan and Russia as well. And below that level, I think there's another task is like how we can manage ROK-US alliance issues. Because actually over the campaign period, he has said some things actually cannot go along with the policy lines of Trump administration. Like, for example, how he's going to handle the Fed issue or the wartime operation control issue. So that's another issue. But below that level, how we can patch up the worst relations between Korea and China in his 25 years of diplomacy. So those are the utmost issues which will press Moon Jae-in a little bit harder on implementing, to take some actions.
Right. Like you mentioned, the U.S.-Korea alliance is obviously going to be really important, and he's going to have to learn, how to deal with President Trump. And it seems like, at least so far, that President Trump really relies on personal relationships. He's kind of someone who likes to, get to know who he's working with. Do you think that Moon Jae-in can work together with President Trump well?
I don't know whether he can go along with Mr. Trump or not, but that's why, actually, maybe Mr. Moon is considering the early summit with President Trump. Maybe I don't know exact time frame, but maybe at the end of June or early part of July. So he wants to establish personal relations. But actually, it's quite uncertain whether he can go along with Mr. Trump or not. We'll just wait and see.
I also saw some of the Asan Institute's polling that shows that Korean public opinion is not that favorable to President Trump. I saw as of March 2017, it was 2.93 out of 10 as far as his favorability. Do you think that will make it harder for President Moon to work together and work on the U.S.-Korea alliance?
Of course, probably understanding in Korea about Mr. Trump is not so much a favor compared to the public understanding of previous President Obama, but actually he's getting better. So I think that's, of course, public opinion can change depend upon what kinds of things will happen between Korea and the U.S. So I'm a little bit optimistic about the public approval rate, but that's a personal touch. On the other hand, actually, the personal understanding of the ROK-UA alliance is all-time high, maybe more than 80% of South Korean public still support the ROK-US alliance and also even the ROK-US Japan Trilateral Security Cooperation very much. So I'm much confident about the future of ROK-US alliance despite some personal differences or lack of personal touch on several issues, but I'm relatively optimistic.
All right. One other issue, I mean, there's the U.S.-Korea alliance, of course, the military alliance, but we also have a really important economic relationship. President Trump has brought this up a lot, both during the campaign and recently about CORUS FTA. So how do you think this will affect how President Moon approaches the U.S., all these economic questions recently?
Of course, if you recall, actually, CORUS FTA was initiated during the Nomuyon period. So actually he can claim it's kind of part of his boss's legacy. So he has to manage it very carefully. But actually he's in a kind of defensive position to maintain the CORUS FTA. But he may be challenged by the U.S. side. For example, the U.S. side want to reform the CORUS FTA. That can be a serious task and also very daunting challenge for Moon Jae-in to handle. So he like to stay where the CORUS FTA in general, but maybe he has to deal with some specific issues. So I hope we can manage the CORUS FTA effectively and efficiently. But if U.S. actually pushes the Moon Jae-in administration on the FTA issue, that could be translated into a rise of anti-American sentiment in Korea. That's a concern I have.
Right. So moving on to some of the other important foreign policy partners that you mentioned, I'm thinking particularly of Japan, China. You mentioned Russia a little bit. How do you think President Moon will handle these other players in the region, especially when it comes to North Korea?
It seems to me that Mr. Moon actually maybe wants to have some dialogue with North Korea, but actually his desire will be limited and constrained by the other concerned parties' position at the moment. So maybe he'd like to have more cooperation coming from Chinese side. That's one issue, but it is quite difficult for South Korea to improve its relations with China because the public understanding of China has deteriorated over the several months. So unless there's a positive sign coming from China on this economic pressure, it is very unlikely for the South Korean government to go along or improve drastically its relations with China. So that's one issue. But actually, on the other hand, we need to have Chinese cooperation in solving North Korean issue. But at the moment, I think it is not China, but the U.S. who is in a driver's seat. So that's why I said this Korea-U.S. coordination and consultation on North Korea policy is the most critical issue and task the South Korean government should handle. So maybe after having a consultation with the United States, maybe he can consult with China and bring China much closer to the coordinated position of ROK and the U.S. That's the second issue. About the fourth issue about Japan, at the moment, actually, the Comfort Woman Agreement would be revisited possible, I think, because actually there's still debate going on that issue. But on the other hand, South Korean government, Moon Jae-in, maybe would recognize the necessity of having Japanese cooperation in handling the security challenges mostly coming from North Korea. So maybe the continuation of upgrading security cooperation is the thing. But I don't see any visible or tangible actions can be made on the both sides because maybe they will talk about the necessity of having more intense security cooperation between the two parties confined only on the Korean Peninsula. But I think that after agreeing on the GSOMIA, General Security of Military Information Agreement, nothing has been going on at all. So I think that we will be at that level for some several months. So, but if there is any kind of provocation done by North Korea, there could be a higher chance for South Korea to seek security cooperation with Japan, despite all the problems and the comfort woman and history front.
Right. So a lot of the analysis that I've seen both before the election and then now that Moon has won mentioned the sunshine policy. There's all these headlines with the sunshine policy is coming back. Do you think we'll really see a return to the sunshine policy under this new administration?
When I look at the people around Mr. Moon or President Moon, we can say that it's a returning of sunshine policy, but there are actually at least three constraints upon this Moon Jae-in presidency. First, actually domestically, the sunshine policy is not so much favored by the general public. General public wants more tougher stance on North Korea. So that's one thing. Second, actually, general tone or direction of North Korea policy is already set by the U.S. and partly by China. So it's very difficult for South Korea to change the current trend despite all its desire to come back to the sunshine policy. And third, we don't know yet what kinds of policy or response will be coming from North Korea. If there is another provocation from North Korea, it's almost impossible for Moon Jae-in to return to the Sunshine Policy 2.0. So those three elements will become a kind of constraint upon the Moon Jae-in's desire to come back to Sunshine Policy.
Okay, great. I really appreciate all your time. I know, like I said, that you've been probably following all this news very carefully. Before we go, is there anything else that you think it's important for our listeners to know about the election or about the new administration?
I think this actually new administration is kind of a firefighter, just to take care of the issues at the specific point of time. So he's going to be quite weak administration since he has only 120 seats and Moon Jae-in got 41% of the voters, but that's not good enough to become a strong administration to realize what Mr. Moon has said during the campaign. So we'll see what will happen. So how we can keep the nation united and also reconciliation is going to be a key issue for him to manage. And the other issue we have to take into account, the political calendar of South Korea. We will be having the election next year, and also in that period of time, we will be discussing the possibility of amending the constitution. So domestic political issues may consume all the energies we have at the moment. I want to avoid such things, but I think that there's possible high possibility that we will be consumed by domestic politics.
Okay. Well, thank you again for taking your time and for sharing all your great insights with me.
Thank you.
Thanks everyone once again for joining me here on Korean Context. I hope you learned something. If you haven't already, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you're getting your podcasts. They are also available on our website, as is all of our other great research and blogs. And definitely come back next week for another great episode.